Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now, if you listen to the last few episodes of Simple Man Sermons, there was one on grace, before that one on forgiveness, and this one is on a root of bitterness. You don't have to listen to them. They're each individually standalone episodes, but it may be beneficial to go back and listen to those in order. Forgiveness, grace, and root of bitterness. Notice what this text says. Sadly, it says, a root of bitterness, by this many become defiled. It also says, look carefully. So let us look carefully, lest we be one of the many who become defiled by this root of bitterness. You see, in this life, Satan will often throw bad thoughts, unclean thoughts, defiling thoughts, hateful thoughts at us. You can't really control that, the fiery darts of Satan, what he throws at you. You picture them like balls being thrown at you. You can't control what gets thrown at you, but you can control what you grab and hold on to. It doesn't say a thought of bitterness, it says a root of bitterness. If you think about a root, it's something that's taken hold deep down. More than just a fleeting thing, it's a root, it's something that's there. It's semi-permanent, that's hard to get rid of. If you've ever pulled weeds, you'll know how hard it is to get all of the root. What's that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? A root of bitterness, not a thought of bitterness, not a fleeting moment of anger, but a root of bitterness. Look carefully, lest you become defiled by a root of bitterness in your heart. So how do we take these thoughts? If we look at scripture to interpret scripture, one of the scriptures says, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. When you say it, you kind of take it and make it yours. Guard your tongue. Your words have power. We are made in the very image and likeness of God. What is written? How did God create the heavens and the earth? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. And darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. And God said, light be, or let there be light. And light was. God's words have power. You are made in His image. Your words have power. Take no thought saying. So how do we stop these roots of bitterness from taking hold? One way, control your tongue. Let us look at James. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. He is able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they are so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they turn about with a very small helm. Whithsoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Do the fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain yield both salt and fresh. To put that in more common terms, that's the King James translation. No man can tame the tongue. With it we bless our God and speak evil of men who are made in the very image of God. These things ought not be so. Notice how it says also that it defiles. How do we keep this root of bitterness from defiling us? And take no thought saying. So don't say it. Don't say it out loud. Don't take that thought that Satan throws at you and make it yours by saying it. What are some other ways we can guard against this bitterness from taking root? I would submit to you, think about being humble. What do you have that you did not first receive, as it is written? And a saying of my own, I am because God made me. I have because God gave me. I love because God first loved me. Anything I have, any resource, any skill, any talent, I only have it because God gave it to me. I only have the next breath, this word that I'm speaking to you, because God permits it. It's all of grace. With that in mind, be humble. I'll submit two passages to you, similar. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Likewise, this passage. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you are a soldier or study fighting or anything like that, you'll know the importance of knowing your enemy, knowing their tactics. If Satan then is our adversary, as we just went over, do we not know his? His goal is to draw you away from God, to separate you from God, accuse you, to pick on you. You think about a bully on a playground. He will often search out and pick on someone. Now, if that person, though small, fights with everything they have, likely that bully will go next time and pick on someone else, because many won't resist. We look at this passage again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, or he will draw nigh unto you. You are not a soldier in God's army. Is the adversary not to be fought against? But be of good cheer, the battle is the Lord's. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And the passage we went through before that, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Have a worry, do you have a care, do you have a bitter thought? Go to God, submit it to him. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What do we see in Mark chapter 14? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So don't put your confidence in your flesh. Put your confidence in your master, in your savior, in your commander, in the God of hosts, or perhaps easier to understand, in the God of angel armies. He is your strength. Let us remember Psalm 91. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. So what do? We submit to God. We watch. We pray. We be on guard against the fiery darts of Satan. Know that those evil thoughts against our brethren are from him. Don't take hold of them. Don't speak them out. It's helpful to know what you are told to do, that you know the truth, that you know right and wrong. What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Be on guard against accusations from other people, against evil thoughts of other people. Be careful what you believe when you hear evil things being spoken of about your neighbor. For it is written, a man shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. By the mouths of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. You know what the witness had to do? It's not hearsay. It's not people speaking rumors about somebody else. the witness had to go and lay their hands on the head of the person they were accusing face to face. And several witnesses had to do that before that person could be stoned, could be condemned. Knowing this, don't believe what other people say about somebody, even if you are inclined to not like that person or to think evil about them. Hearsay is not enough. The testimony of one witness is not enough. One person speaking evil about somebody is not enough. What is written, the same measure you use will be measured back to you. Would you want somebody to believe something about you just because somebody said it? Or would you want them to have undeniable proof and evidence, firsthand accounts by two or three witnesses? Likewise, you then, don't speak evil of your brother. Don't repeat hearsay. Again, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's one of the commandments? You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. You shall not take a stand against the life of your neighbor. Or another way to interpret that, or in more common English, is do not stand idly by while someone takes the life of your neighbor. If you hear somebody speaking rumors about somebody else, number one, don't listen, don't repeat them, and try and squash them. Don't stand idly by while somebody falsely accuses somebody else or accuses somebody with no evidence. If every Christian did this, if every believer did this, especially within the community of believers, followers of Jesus Christ, if we all loved Jesus and kept his commandments, would this not help with this matter greatly, with not having bitterness in our hearts towards people? Again, it doesn't say few, it says many. Sadly, it says many become defiled. So watch and pray, lest you enter into this temptation. What is written, God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. Satan tries to bring in division, especially among believers, especially among brothers. Again, resist the devil and flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And again, the tongue is an unruly evil. With it, we bless God and we speak evil of men who are made in the very image of God. These things ought not to be so. Know your place, be humble. As it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, not you. You give it to God. It's your place to forgive. Think of all the sins you've ever committed in your life. You were forgiven of those. Ought you not to forgive your neighbor? Is it not written in the Gospel of Mark? If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So you had better forgive. Better not take that root of bitterness, because I certainly need forgiveness for many things in my life, and you certainly do too. Only one perfect man, Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He forgave even the people that were nailing him to the cross. He said, forgive them, as they were nailing him to a piece of wood. Is he not our example? Are we not to walk as he walked? Are we not to speak as he spoke? He didn't say, I never see it written anywhere, if you want to forgive, if you feel like forgiving. No, he says, if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And Jesus is our example. Let us look to the writings of John. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Again, no root of bitterness. When Jesus, who committed no sin, was being nailed to a piece of wood, being spat on, being whipped, being put to death for your sin and my sin, he said, forgive them. Ought you not also to walk as he walked? Don't let there be a root of bitterness in your heart. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Humble yourself. Remember that you need forgiveness. As it is written, freely you have received, freely give. You are not forgiven because you deserved it, because you earned it, because of anything good in you. You were forgiven because of the goodness of God. Freely you have received, freely forgive. Again, I'll remind you, your tongue, with it we bless God our Father and curse men who are made in the image of God. These things ought not to be so. Let us go back to the text from whence we started. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful in the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths of your feet, so that what is lame may be dislocated, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. That's the run in the context of that verse. So I would say, to recap, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Humble yourself to God. Do you need strength? Go to the source of all strength, God. Are you having trouble with a bitter root in your heart? Is it hard to pluck out? With men it may be impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. What Jesus says, he talks about a camel going through the eye of a needle. With God all things are possible. So if you are facing a root of bitterness that seems impossible to pluck out, go to God, because with God all things are possible. Again, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that is that not the point of our life here on earth, to draw near to God? Is that not hell, separation from God eternally? And is that not heaven, to be in the presence of God, to be united with God? Is that not our life goal here on earth, to grow closer to God? That is the number one thing in our lives. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We seek a better city than what we have here on earth. We seek to be in the very presence of God. So start seeking, ask, seek, and knock. Do you need? If you need something, where do you go? You go to God. Pray. The Gospel of Mark chapter 11. He will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Again, I certainly know that I need forgiveness. And I don't know you, but I certainly know that you need forgiveness. If you want God to forgive you, you must forgive your neighbor. Let there be no root of bitterness in your heart. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people. Act like it. Be different than the world. The world cares about revenge and bitterness and evil for evil and reviling for reviling. Gossip and speaking evil about your neighbor and trying to dig up some dirt. But not you. You are a holy people. Wash that filth off, lest you be defiled. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Rest assured, God knows how to save sinners. That's the entire point of Jesus' life and death and resurrection from the dead. Don't return to your vomit. Don't return to the things of this world. Everybody else is speaking evil of his neighbor and reviling and having roots of bitterness and revenge and anger. Be better. Be holy. Be set apart. That's what holy means. Be different. You are God's own special people. Is it not written, be holy for I am holy? Be different. Forgive. Be forgiven. Be special. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Be merciful, for your Father in heaven is merciful. Walk as Jesus Christ walked. Do not pay back reviling for reviling, or evil for evil. He was spat on. They shoved a crown of thorns on his head. They whipped him and beat him and spit on him and nailed him. They pierced his hands and his feet, ran a spear in his side. And you know what he said? Forgive them. That's the God that I serve. That's the Savior that I have. That's my example. That's my King. Thanks for listening to Simple Man Sermons, and have a blessed day.